Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll take in your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. So we talked some yesterday and earlier this week about the Titans on the offensive side of the ball, wide receiver, what that could look like. And I want to get Joe's thoughts on this as well. I was wondering last night, you know, we're a couple weeks out from camp. We're going to see a lot of things going on during camp. I mean, there'll be a day where I'm sure that, like, man, did you see Bryce Oliver out there today? Yeah, like five catches. It was unbelievable what he was able to do. There'll be days where Cam Ward throws three interceptions. And I'm telling people, by the time training camp comes around, there's going to be so many overreactions one way or the other that it's going to be hard to keep it straight. I'm trying to get to the bottom of, Joe, what is the best case scenario for this receiving core this year? Like, what does that look like? What does that entail? And, you know, I'm trying to live in the world of realism here. Like, I'm not talking best case scenario of, well, Treylon Burks is healthy and he finally lives up to what they thought he was going to be. And Treylon Burks has 1,400 yards this year, because I think that is just so far-fetched. And that's not even within the scope of realism. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about, like, what's the best version of Calvin Ridley at this point in his career? What can Tyler Lockett realistically give you that you'd be like, yep, that's great. Like, we love that from Tyler Lockett. When you're looking at Elik Iomanner and Chimere Dike, like, what do those two guys bring to the table where you get to the end of it, and you're like, yeah, it's hard to expect much more from those guys than what we just saw this season. So, with that in mind, Joe, as you look at this wide receiver core, and I'm assuming health in this because it's hard to have this discussion without knowing exactly what the injury luck is going to look like, but assuming that everybody's healthy, what do you think the best case scenario for this wide receiving group actually looks like? How good can they be? Coming off a day yesterday, Joe, where we saw Bill Barnwell rank the wide receivers, running backs, and tight end group for the Titans 32nd out of 32 in the National Football League.
Well, let's see. Let's start with Xavier Restrepo, Rookie of the Year.
There we go.
Treylon Burks, Comeback Player of the Year. Calvin Ridley, Offensive MVP. Now, you mentioned the names that I think, like, even if the names you mentioned are key, I think that's close to a best-case scenario. Now, with Ridley, like 12 to 1,400 yards, I think, and I'm trying to be realistic.
Yes.
I think that's, you know, I think that would be really good. That would be a really good year. Tyler Lockett is more DeAndre Hopkins of a couple years ago than Tyler Boyd of last year, right? He's actually like, okay, that more, or like Robert Woods, you know, just obviously this franchise has an incredible history of picking up receivers who underperform or just, oh, they were actually at the end of their rope when they get here. Hopkins being a huge exception. Lockett being another exception, that's a big deal. If we're even talking about the two rookies, the two fourth rounders on a regular basis because they're out there that often, I think that really means something. I don't know that, you know, statistically, you know, DK to me is like, I could see the stats not being consistently all that impressive, but can he be a big play guy that you can sprinkle in? Even like a rookie, maybe better version of like what they had with Khalif Raymond a few years ago, where, you know, here and there, you're going to get a big play out of him. I think that, you know, again, trying to be, if it's better than that, great. But I think it's hard to expect much more than that. Iomanner, I think, is to me, is the guy you look at like, boy, it would be really big for them to have a rookie who consistently plays and produces and has some instant impact, but also shows that there's more there and that down the road he can grow into a good starting receiver in the NFL.
I think, you know, we did that Titans buy or sell a few weeks back, and I think the line that I had for DK and Iomanner was 850. Like, if they combined for 850, would you go over or under that? Like, would you take that? You know, that doesn't sound like a lot on the surface, right? But again, we're talking about two fourth-round picks here who are rookies. So I don't know that that's necessarily going to be an even split either. Like I'm with you. I could see particularly DK being a guy where you look at the end of the year and you're like, man, he had like 21 catches. Like he didn't catch the ball very often, but his average catch was like 18 or something like that, right? Like just some ridiculous number because he uses his speed, he gets down the field, and they're able to connect on a few big shots with him. Like maybe that's what it ends up looking like with him. You know, Io Manner, I think, has a chance maybe to be on the field a little bit more and a chance to be kind of more of your straight up traditional possession type of guy in the NFL. Again, we're talking about 2 fourth-round rookies here. We'll see exactly what the playing time ends up looking like for both those guys. But like if either one of those guys individually to me, Joe, had like 500 yards this year or anything over 500 yards, like to me, that's a pretty darn good season for a rookie 4th-round draft pick wide receiver. Like I think some people are expecting those guys to come in and like have like 800 yards a pop. And I just don't see that with this group the way it's currently constructed.
I agree. On the text line, Caleb says they need Io Manner to pop and be a stud is what they need. So would it be better for them to be around that number you mentioned and both of them show some promise, or like for him to really be something and maybe DK is just kind of lost in the shuffle and maybe we'll see, maybe down the road he could be something, but he just doesn't get into the playing group because Bryce Oliver, is a guy who I think is probably going to get snaps out there. Van Jefferson, we'll see. I'm a little more skeptical there, but you have to also factor him in as a possibility. And I'm not ruling out Restrepo, but you can see where DK could, of the two, where he could be lost in the shuffle. If they're both lost in the shuffle, that's the problem, and that's where like Weston Clarksville says, I want to know why they didn't pay NWI. I mean, I think some of that is they do want to they want to get younger. They want to have someone with a higher ceiling. NWI has maxed himself out in this league. Great story. But they also, I think, like Bryce Oliver, and he has a spot and maybe a little bit more impactful on special teams than NWI. I mean, I think that's the answer. They really need at least one of these rookies to show right away, yep, that's a nice value pick in the 4th round.
Well, I would also say this, like on the NWI front, he's also been a part of a lot of losing the last couple of years. Don't discount the possibility that he just wanted to get out of here. Like it ain't like he went to Miami and he signed this huge deal. Like he's got $3.2 million of guaranteed money. It ain't very much money that he signed for down there in Miami. So I don't even know that it's a case that the Titans let him go. He may have just said, "Hey, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going somewhere else. I'd like a shot to win around here."
I think absolutely. I mean, I think it's been tough for these guys around here, and now you have all these changes, and it's a different system and everything, and obviously it goes very poorly. It's like when Derrick Henry left. That I think that was just as much, if not more, that he was like, okay, I'm sick of running to the brick wall here and losing, and obviously turned out pretty well for him.
I would say this, you bring up an interesting point on the Io Manner front. Like, would it be better if you saw, like, I guess, moderate levels of success from both Io Manner and DK this year? Or would it be better if, like, Io Manner really popped and DK you just weren't sure about at the end of the year? I would probably lean that. I mean, look, Joe, let's just play the odds here. The odds are that both your 4th-round picks at wide receiver probably aren't going to work out. I mean, let's just be real. The odds that DK and
I
Io
agree. In
Manner
fact,
are both going to work out are not high.
no, I agree. Look, if like either one of them, I would choose right now. I would choose one of them pops, like really pops, and one of them is a total bust. Okay, great. Rather than both of them are not bad, and you can see a little something there. If you get one of them, one 4th-round pick to pop, great. Then, and the other one, it just is a lost pick. I think that's easily the choice. You need someone young that you can hang your hat on moving forward. I mean, I think next year we're probably headed toward a high receiver pick. I think that's a real possibility. And of course, 2 years from now, like the whole league's gonna, like, I swear we'll never see more like talk about tanking for a receiver than before the 2027 draft when Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith are available. Like, it's going to be wild. But there's more coming in terms of young receivers. But if you could get one of these fourth rounders to be like, okay, this is going to be a core player for me in the next few years, that would be huge. I think that's definitely the choice over both of them are decent.
So, like, best case scenario, I'm with you. Like, Ridley, somewhere in that 1,200 to 1,400 yard range, like, that would be a huge win if he's able to do that. Lockett, I mean, could Lockett give you 60 catches this year? Could Lockett give you 60 catches for 750 yards, right? Like, last year he was at 49 for 600. At age 33, like, it's hard to expect a whole lot more than that. If he gave you 60 catches this year for 750 yards, I mean, I'd be doing cartwheels over that if I were a Titans fan. I even think that that's probably high on the Lockett front, but that would be, realistic best case. Could he give you that? And then, I guess in best case, you'd like to see DK and IO Manor both pop. But really, I'm with you. Like, if you could get one of them to feel really good about by the end of the year that they're going to be a part of this thing for a long time with Cam Ward, that would be great at the end of the year. Like, I think that's what you're looking at with this receiving core right now. Expecting much beyond that, I think we start to drift into fantasy land a little bit.
So, did you determine that is Bill Barnwell being fair, or is Bill Barnwell a little bit excessively down on the Titans' skill players?
Well, I mean, I don't, I think 32nd is right in line. Like, I don't know how you could look at their skill players right now and not think that they're somewhere in the neighborhood of 30th, 31st, 32nd. He didn't even mention any of the tight ends, which was kind of weird. Like Chigakonkwo, Gunnar Helm, Josh White, they just didn't come up in his little piece, which was interesting. So, I mean, that kind of tells you, I guess, what he thinks of the tight end group. So
Yeah.
I'm leaving some room for Gunnar Helm maybe to come in and be pretty good. We'll see. And, maybe IO Manor does pop. There's some potential, I guess, is how I would answer it. There's some unknown potential that could change that by the end of the year. But right now, like, I have no problem with the Titans being ranked 32nd with that skill group.
Yeah, look, this gets into in a particular market, everybody knows very explicitly who all the players are, and there's always some guys who, wow, could this rookie be good? Could this veteran have his career year? How much does this guy like? You could talk yourself into being pretty good, but then if they're not 32nd, then someone needs to tell me who is. And what we know of that team is very surface compared to what they know of that team in that market. And there's a guy there who they have high hopes for. There's a third year player that people are sleeping on, like NWI was here or whatever it is. I mean, I just don't think it's an outrageous thing.
Carolina at 31, and you're not putting somebody that's got Xavier Leggett on their team. You ain't putting them at 32. Not on my watch.
Man, he needs to become the absolute best player in the NFL.
I
We
agree.
all need it.
615-737-1025. So we've gone through what the best case scenario for the Titans could look like within the world of realism. What about the worst case scenario? What if things don't go well? How bad could this receiving core actually be? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Indicators of development for you, good rookie pass catchers. Like, what are you looking for in this phase that tells you any of these guys are getting better?
The speed at which they play, how quickly they can recognize things, from coverage and leverage, how quickly do they pick up on some of the nuance that's required at this level with receivers. There's a lot of things that's on their plate. They have to be able to see a lot, and every day they come out, there's something new comes up for them. And I think the biggest thing is not repeating whatever mistake they made initially, and continue to move forward. And again, the faster they start to play, the more comfortable you can assume they're getting. It's funny, sometimes you can almost see guys think when they're playing. And the idea for the receivers is that you don't want them thinking, you want them rolling, playing as fast as possible. And that just comes with reps.
That's Brian Callahan earlier this offseason discussing what he's looking for in the receivers and when he knows that they're picking some things up. Taking your thoughts on the Titans wide receiver core, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Robbie, when you said that, like, right at the last end there, that you left room for the tight ends, that was exactly what I thought whenever you brought this up. It's like, the best case scenario for the Titans receivers is that they are not stared at every single play, because our tight end sucks, man. Like, Chiggs sucks. I hope Gunnar Helms is good. There's an opportunity for him to be good. I watched him at Texas. He's not a bad player, and hopefully he ends up getting some chemistry with our quarterback. But Chiggs sucks, man, and he left. It's not like our wide receiver room was anything special last year, but I don't think they're as bad either. And aside from Ridley, there's nobody that's going to go over 500 or 600 yards. So best case scenario. I mean, can you imagine Patrick Mahomes, what his wide receivers look like if Kelsey's not eating up two or three players? Like, it's not even that for a great quarterback, it's not going to work. So we need a tight end to be a presence. When the Titans were good, Frank Wycheck demanded attention. Our wide receivers weren't great, but they looked a whole lot better because we had, you know, I know Derek's great, and I know he's part of the show. But, like, Dyson, all these guys, Drew Bennett, they all benefited from a good tight end being there. So I just think our tight end has to be good, especially for a young quarterback, dude. Like, I don't know why you don't spend better capital to get a good tight end. I've never understood it. It's like 3 or 4 years in a row where I'm beating my head going, why don't we have a tight end for these terrible quarterbacks? So I hope our tight end's good, dude.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it, man. I know inevitably, Joe, in that conversation, the drafting of J.C. Latham and letting Brock Bowers go is always going to come up. That comes up on our text line, I think, once a day.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, he brings up an interesting point, because the Titans, you know, obviously they kind of lucked out with Delanie Walker. They don't draft, and I know now we're talking about they, and we're talking about different front offices and stuff, but they just haven't drafted tight ends prominently. Jonnu Smith,
he's all right.
Third rounder?
Yeah, he's third rounder.
Yeah, so there's an example of using some draft capital on tight end and paying off for you. And I got to say, man, you know, obviously things didn't go great for him in New England, but pretty big bounce back. But he's still a pretty good freaking player in this league. And I still believe, like, he's always going to be an underrated part of that amazing offense from, like, you know, 2019, 2020, you know? So there is something to be said for, at some point, are you going to use some serious capital on tight end? But maybe Helms will work out.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, what's up, Robbie? What's going on, Joe?
What's up, Mark?
Yeah, always good to hear from you, Joe. Yeah, I see you wasn't in there yesterday, but I figured I had to call and talk to you today. Hey, Robbie, Joe, first of all, Brock Bowers is where he needs to be with my Raiders, so let's leave Brock alone now. Leave him alone.
I hear you. I hear you.
Hey, Joe, Robbie, is Treylon Burks on that roster at the end of all the cuts this year, or does he make the team and they give him one more chance to prove he could be a good wide receiver in the NFL?
Thanks for the call, Mark. I would say this, Joe. I don't think he's going to be on the team. I could be wrong. First off, I'm interested to see if he's available in camp. Like, is how available is he going to be? That would be the first step. But I look at him right now, and I understand that that wide receiver room is light, and if there's a place in the league where Treylon Burks could still latch on, it would be here based on what their wide receiver room looks like. But, we know Ridley, Lockett, I think DK and Io Manor all are going to be on the team. I'm not going to guarantee Van Jefferson a spot. I'm not going to guarantee Bryce Oliver a spot. But I would, at this point, put both of those guys over Burks. Depending on how good Restrepo is, you could put him over Burks. Like, all of a sudden, we're getting to, you know, 7 guys right there. I don't think they're going to have room for Treylon Burks. And I think we've run out of, well, let's just take a shot with Burks and see what it looks like. Unless he just absolutely forces it during camp to make you keep him on this roster, my answer would be no, he's not.
My answer is no, too, and I would put him 8th right now, as you just laid out there. Now, is it possible that he could end up being 6th and be ahead of both Jefferson and Restrepo? Yes. And you know what? If that does happen, that probably is pretty good news for the Titans.
Yep.
Or at least it could lead to good news, because I'm with you. I think he's got to really, really open eyes and take advantage of his opportunities. I don't know what the reps are all going to look like. So I think it's possible. And if that's the case, I know the Restrepo fans will be up in arms of, like, Burks making over Restrepo. But it might be a good thing. I'm just, at this point, it's just hard for me to predict it. I would have to say he's not making the team.
So we'll continue the discussion on the receivers coming up next. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to. We'll get to the worst-case scenario after going through the best-case scenario with all the wide receivers as well. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Durham. Pregame beginning at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. So, Joe, we have gone through the best-case scenario for the Titans wide receivers, and again, assuming health in this discussion. Let's go over the worst-case scenario. And again, let's assume that everybody's healthy in this, because you could make the case that the actual worst-case scenario for the Titans wide receivers is, well, Calvin Ridley gets hurt in week one's out for the whole year. Tyler Lockett goes down in week three. He's out for the whole year. And you got just a bunch of random dudes out there at wide receiver. That's too hard to sit there and really compute within the world of realism right now. So let's assume everybody's healthy. What's the worst case scenario? How bad could this receiving core, which again, Bill Barnwell has just ranked 32nd. How bad could it be for the Titans this year?
Pretty bad. I mean, it could be pretty freaking bad.
It could be pretty awful.
Yeah. I mean, like, is Lockett, is this going to be a second straight year of a Tyler coming in here, previously excellent Tyler, who just is at the end of the rope coming to Nashville? There's one. Yeah, because I think with any prediction, Robbie, like you just touched on, you have to assume health in all these predictions, even though we all know that there won't be health. But like, how are you going to, you know, you have to assume health and judge teams on health. So Lockett's cashed. Jefferson's cashed. Neither of the rookies is ready / just isn't good enough. Ridley, I mean, I still think even in a worst case scenario, I think Ridley's going to produce, because like, it's, you know, who else is going to, like, they're going to be behind in games. There's going to be probably some empty calories and some fourth quarters and things like that. So Ridley will still, but a sub-1,000 yard year, that's a part of a worst case scenario for him too.
There's a chance that beyond Ridley, this receiving core could be extremely dry. Like, I mean, look, somebody's going to have to catch some passes. I understand that. Like, somebody's going to have to catch the ball out there beyond Calvin Ridley. But there is absolutely a scenario where neither one of the rookies, and I guess you could put all three of them in there if you're of the belief that Xavier Restrepo is going to come in and, you know, be 1,600-yard guy. But there's a chance that none of the rookies are ready, and they're not able to be productive to start, which, by the way, happens sometimes in the NFL with rookie receivers. Tyler Lockett continues a downward trend, and he just kind of falls off the cliff at age 33, and he's just not a threat. He can't get open. He can't get separation anymore. Like, that's a possibility there. So I'm with you on the Ridley front. Like, based on the way the receiving core is kind of structured around him, like, his floor, I think, if he's healthy, is pretty high. Like, I don't think you're going to be talking about Calvin Ridley with 400 yards or anything this year. If he's healthy, he's going to approach 1,000 yards. But what's beyond him? Like, that's where it starts to – like, there's a lot of, I think – we keep coming back to the word hope a lot, talking about Titans and Predators around here. There's a lot of hope right now with the wide receiving core outside of Calvin Ridley that certain things are going to happen where they're good enough at wide receiver. And that's a scary place to be if you're trying to build a football team.
Yeah, no doubt. What if Cam Ward and Restrepo get in a fight and aren't best friends anymore? Throw that into the
that could be a part of it.
Throw that into the worst case scenario. Texter says, why the hell are the Titans not trading for Terry McLaurin right now? If I were GM, that deal would be done already. This team is terrible. The receivers are atrocious.
Well, because Washington doesn't want to trade Terry McLaurin. That's why. I mean,
that'd be one roadblock.
Now, they may get there at some point. We talked about the McLaurin situation to begin the show. Like, I wouldn't put a whole lot of attention to it until training camp comes around and he's actually missing practice. If that happens, well, then maybe it does start to destabilize at that point. But I doubt very seriously Washington is sitting here right now being like, you know what we'd really like to do right now? We'd really like to trade away our best wide receiver. That would be something we'd like to do. I don't think that's happening. So that would be why. Like, I'm sure that with the contract situation being what it is, I have no doubt that there have been some general managers around the league, Joe, that have made the call to Washington and been like, hey, so what's going on? You guys going to put Terry McLaurin on the block? I guarantee you that's happened. But I doubt very seriously Washington is sitting here on July the 10th being like, yep, let's trade him.
I'll be extremely surprised if in the end they don't end up paying him because of the success last year. You can't – it's not like you're just replacing him with Debo, right? Like, you need both. And when you have the year like you had last year, yeah, you got a lot of years with Jaden Daniels, and that's the bottom line. Like, the future is bright, but you're also, you know, you're in a what you hope is a division competition with the defending Super Bowl champs. You beat the best team in the NFL last year on their field in the playoffs, in an incredible environment. Like, you don't mess this up. It'll go for a while. But he'll be a commander this season.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked about the receiving, the two rookie receivers in the fourth round, Io Manor and DK. You know, I said it, and I'm texting back with Corey Curtis right now. He's saying, like, if they got over 600, he would think that that's, like, combined. That would be really good. Because as he points out, if they're getting over 600, it's probably going to be, like, one guy – at 500 and another guy at about $150. Right. Like, it's probably what it's going to end up being at that point. So that goes back to the, would you rather see one of them pop rather than just this, like, even split down the middle, and both of them you're like, I don't really know what they are at the end of the year. I mean, the worst case scenario for those two is they're just not very good, right? Like, maybe they're not, are they, you know, fourth round success stories do happen, Joe. Like, we've got one on our station and Derek Mason, who's a pretty darn good pick in the fourth round. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown's been pretty darn good for Detroit as a fourth-round pick. So it happens in the league. You can find throughout the history of the NFL, I mean, it's littered with good receivers that have gone in the fourth round. There are also a lot of receivers that you can take in the fourth round that were absolutely terrible and never really did anything in the NFL. Look at Des Fitzpatrick, who, by the way, you took in the fourth round. Didn't do much in the NFL, right? So didn't even make your team the first year after you drafted him. So that's not an impossibility here with both of these guys that you just took, even though I know that a lot of Titans fans are very excited about him. And I am too. Like, I, you know, I've got some hope that those guys could turn out to be good, but it's by no means a guarantee that one of those two guys is just going to come in and immediately be ready to go.
Right. And look, if neither of them pans out, if both of them are just struggling to get on the field this year, I know they're just rookies, but with such opportunity, I think that will say something. And, well, this is an early indicator of you know, Mike Bergonzi and this new front office structure. You certainly hope that you didn't miss on both of those guys. Yeah. I'll be surprised if Io Manor doesn't at least become a guy who gets regular snaps and has some production.
Serviceable.
And of course you hope for more than that, for sure. But if that's at least not the case, that'd be a big surprise to me.
I tell you what, we talked about best case scenario for all the receiving core. I tell you what the real best case scenario is. The best case scenario is that Cam Ward is so good that he elevates everybody around him, right? And that doesn't mean that, you know, Io Manor is going to have 1,000 yards or anything. But the best case scenario is you get to the end of the year and you're like, good Lord, look at how good the quarterback was. Imagine how good he could be if you got him some more help at wide receiver. That to me is probably the best case scenario at the end of the year from a franchise standpoint of, oh my goodness, look at how good Cam Ward was. Imagine how good he could be if you go get him some help.
Well, exactly. Like Caleb says in the YouTube chat, you know, if Io Manor gets 550 or whatever, you know, some of these numbers are hit, then Ward's probably balling out. So, I mean, that's, you know, he's still he dictates as much as anyone some of the success. Yes, could he be, you know, good? We can see that he's good and he just doesn't have help and it's like Ridley and the Ridleyettes and yeah, they're just all bad. Yes, but if he's what the Titans hope he can be or is getting there this year, that's got to translate into some production for people other than Ridley, I would think.
We have a lot of people on the text line asking if Treylon Burks could make the transition to tight end. We have had a receiver on our show this week that has made the transition to tight end, so it does happen. So I'm not going to totally dismiss the question, but I would doubt that that is going to be within the cards for Treylon Burks. I know he's got good size to him. You know, how well can he block? I would also point out, you know, we mentioned Jordan Matthews that we had on the show earlier this week, going from wide receiver to tight end. He also basically took a year off to learn how to play tight end and the blocking and everything that goes with that. So it's not just as simple as, hey, we don't really have a spot for you at wide receiver, but get over there and start playing tight end if you're Treylon Burks.
Yeah, and Jordan Matthews, you know, he's trying. He's trying to make it in the league as a tight end.
Right.
What's the most successful example of that in NFL history? There have definitely been some transitions from receiver to tight end, but I'm trying to think of one that was really successful.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd have to really dig in on that.
Devin Funchess was like a hybrid guy, but he came in as like a hybrid guy with the Panthers out of Michigan. So, yeah, I don't think that's realistic for Treylon Burks. Yes, he's a big body receiver. I don't think he's a guy who would ever be someone you could put in line and get anything from in that way.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A couple weeks out from training camp, what is the number one thing that we want to see early in camp from Cam Ward? We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinitix's Rock the Cradle. This event's sure to be a great time, celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. You can get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by Wilson County Hyundai. com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Less than 2 weeks away from training camp opening up. Matter of fact, 2 weeks as of yesterday is when they'll be out there on the field. So we are getting there, Joe Rexroad. Cam Ward, what is one thing you'll be looking for early in camp that you want to see? Whether it's taking care of the football, whether it's explosive plays down the field, whether it's busting out of the pocket and extending plays, what's the number one thing you want to see early on in camp from Cam Ward, Joe, that will indicate to you that he is on a trajectory and on a path to success early?
Well, I would say you want to see some spectacular throws. You want to see consistently throwing strikes, which, again, I think is just – that's the – thing people aren't talking about as much with him. I don't think they talk about it enough in general with quarterbacks. But you're throwing strikes consistently on the plays that you have to make routinely. Some spectacular throws. I'm not too worried about some picks in camp. I actually really do subscribe to the theory of this is where you can take some risks that you shouldn't in games. Like, it's, you're just gonna have to see in games if he can not turn it over with devastating results like his predecessor did. But I also don't want to see too many, right? You don't want it to become like a, like where it's like, oh, once again, he didn't see that the linebacker was dropping, or once again, he was late and, you know, the corner was able to break back and pick up things like that. So you don't want to see too many of them, but if there's a risk taken here or there and it results in a pick, I mean, I that's what camp is partially for, I believe, with quarterbacks.
Well, I remember, here's kind of how I come down on the turnover thing in camp. It's not totally meaningless. You know, if you're throwing picks all the time in camp, that's probably not a great thing. But I remember, like, how much of a big deal we made around here when Mariota, I think in his rookie year, he went a long time in training camp without throwing an interception. A long time without throwing an interception. And it was like, man, look at this guy. Like, he's just not throwing interceptions at all. And then, like, it didn't really mean much when the regular season came around. So, again, like, I think there's limitations on what all that's going to mean in training camp. I mean, really, what I'd like to see the first few days in camp is, could you make three or four just absolutely wow throws? Because I think a lot of that's what it's going to come down to with Cam Ward. Like, can you – obviously taking care of the football is going to be important, and – being able to recognize what you're seeing. I mean, there's so much that goes into playing quarterback that's going to determine the success or failure of what he's going to look like. And some of that's directly related to him. Frankly, some of that's not related to him. And it's with the situation around him too. But, like, a lot of it is also going to be, like, can he make some throws on a semi-consistent basis that you would expect somebody who was drafted number one overall in the NFL draft to make. So I would like to see the first few days of camp. Like, does he make three or four plays that just leave you shaking your head where you're like, wow, I can't believe that dude just made that play? Because that's what it needs to be with the number one overall pick.
Yeah, and there were a couple like that in the spring, but I agree. You definitely want to see some of those. David says, I want to see a natural baller with football instincts who makes good decisions but not afraid to take chances. Another texter says, no bad plays like Levis. But the thing is, Levis in camp last year, I'm trying to remember. Sure, he threw some picks, but it wasn't some epidemic. And camp last year and what he did on the field the year before did not tell us, watch out, everybody, here comes some, like, bad Brett Favre type stuff, but without the Brett Favre good stuff. Like, that just happened in the season.
He did throw the ball in the lake last year. I think I was in minicamp.
It did bounce, though.
It did bounce, yes, though, as I pointed out. It wasn't an airmail into the lake, which would have been highly impressive.
Yeah, that would have been, like, made Nuke LaLoosh blush if you actually did that. That's darn near impossible.
By the way, we keep calling it a lake. It's like a giant pond is really what it is.
Yes. Yeah, it's a swamp.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, look, I said it yesterday, Joe. We're going to overreact a lot to what Cam Ward does in camp, and I get it. It's part of it. Like, that's just what it is this time of year. And I'm here to tell you, there are probably going to be some days in training camp where he just absolutely lights it up out there. And there are going to be some days where he does throw three picks, and you're like, geez, what in the world happened to Cam Ward today? Like, I would just encourage Titans fans to – keep it even keel, and we'll see. You know, training camp's the time to work on some of those things. As we've gone through this hour, I'm not convinced that he's got the greatest supporting cast around him either. So a lot of it's going to be, you know, kind of wait and see till you get to that Denver game of how equipped is this offense actually to move the football against what's going to be some pretty good tests on the defensive side of the ball that they're going up against in the first 2 weeks, certainly in Denver, and even coming back home against the Rams. The Rams are going to be good this year. So right out of the gate, you're going to get a couple of looks at some pretty good defenses in the NFL. So I think it's going to be up and down in training camp from Cam Ward. And frankly, I think if you expect anything, like if you expect some just linear process through training camp, by the time week one rolls around that he's going to be throwing for 350 against Denver, I don't know if you're living in the real world.
Right. And then Texter says, once you get to Denver, you know, I don't want to see him throw five TDs first game. We've seen that with Levis and Mariota. Yeah. They went downhill. Now, it was four for both of those, but point taken. I'm very confident in this prediction. Cam Ward's not going to have a four TD, zero pick game at Denver against that defense on the road in his first game in the NFL. I will confidently predict that.
Man, if he sucks week one, I may come in the next that Monday and be like, oh, thank God. Thank God. He just wasn't very good in week one. Maybe this kid's got a chance.
I mean, you'd like to see, like, some good throws. But, yeah, like, the Titans losing by 17 and him having, like, 170 yards and a TD and two picks is very much on the table.
It is. I mean, look, I'm excited to see how he handles this. I tell you, the number one thing I'm looking for early beyond just the Cam Ward part, but probably, like, for the whole team, are Ridley and him on the same page early. Like, when they get into camp, do him and Ridley immediately start to hit it off? Or is it another instance like it was last year where you get 3 weeks into camp and you're like, my God, are they ever going to connect? Like, are they going to get on the same page at any point down the field? That would be probably as big a sign to me as anything, is if him and Ridley immediately are connecting pretty well.
It's a big deal. And look, I mean, that's one of the things that I think we can kind of take so far from the stuff that often leads to nothing, is that there is something there. And we're not going to be sitting here all through August with both of those guys asked why they can't get on the same page, you know, which definitely last year in camp played itself out to the Titans' detriment in September.
I did just have a buddy text me, and it's a good point. Like, is Cam Ward going to be out there with the ones in camp, or are they just going to do the quarterback rep thing again until like a week and a half into camp when they name a starter? Levis taking the first team reps coming up as camp starts?
I'll be shocked. I've kind of moved. I'm in the.
I'll be pissed.
Yeah. I think they're going to. I think he'll get the one reps. I think. But yeah, that's one. It's a fair question. It's definitely one of those things like, guys, let's not overthink this here. Okay. We know who's starting the opener. So as a rookie, he would need every possible rep you can give him.
Yeah, and I think that the Titans are going to handle it that way. I know, like, in, you know, OTAs and minicamp, you can go through that song and dance of, you know, the quarterbacks are going to get as many reps as they earn and all this stuff, and that's great. I think you're going to see Cam Ward playing with the ones as training camp opens, and he's going to get a lot of reps. Now, what that ends up meaning for Will Levis and how they structure who's going to be the backup and all these things, I don't know. Like, is Will Levis going to be the backup? Is Brandon Allen going to be the backup? I have no idea how that's going to end up shaking out, but I'd be stunned if you don't see Cam Ward getting the ones immediately.
Will Levis will be traded in August. There's another prediction for you.
To who?
Jacksonville.
Okay. All right. I like it. Man, you imagine Will Levis down there reunited with Liam Cohen. What will that press conference look like from James Gladstone? We're hunting our guy again. We're back at it.
Say it, Will. Say it. And then we get the Levis hit a booming Duval. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. We're getting there. Training camp right around the corner, and Joe, it'll be about 5 days into it where I'm like, all right, enough of training camp. Let's get to some real football games around here. But we're still a ways away from that. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their Thursday. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jason Big Joe Show coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.